Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
What's going on, man?
Just feeling the warmth of community today.
I'm feeling the love.
Of community?
Yeah.
And startups?
Yeah. I feel like maybe I have a place in this world and there are people that understand me.
You know, now that we're actually doing video of this, I was going to do a fake hug, but I don't want to walk all the way around the table to do it. So, but we do have a sense of community within startups. It's not exclusive to our hometown in Kansas City. There's a lot of organizations and communities and ecosystems and things and stuff everywhere. But we've got one here in Kansas City that that you and I, as the owners of Fullscale, are also sponsors of,
yeah.
But we also are both very impressed with what they do. And that's the Kansas City Startup Foundation, for which the CEO, Adam Arredondo, is here with us today. Hi, Adam.
What's up, guys? I'd like to first say, you said you think there's people that understand you. I think that might be a stretch, but we appreciate the work for sure.
I'm like 100% in the boat on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but
my mom understands me. I mean, not much when I talk about technology.
Yeah. Hashtag life goals.
Yeah. I was going to say we might have to define understanding, but so as I mentioned, right before we got into the depth of Watson's personality and character,
yeah,
and other things, knowledge. But you're also are you the founder? Or was there a founding team of the Kansas City Startup Foundation? Like, let's talk a little bit about like what you guys do here. And once again, I want to say Matt and I are both really impressed with everything you guys do. And thanks.
Yeah, no, appreciate that. And obviously appreciate you guys jumping in a meaningful way to help fuel and drive it forward. But I mean, real quick, kind of origin story, this all kind of goes back to the Kansas City Startup Village, which was the first neighborhood that got Google Fiber, and really just this very organic, serendipitous kind of collision of a bunch of different things that ultimately led to this little neighborhood. Again, the first neighborhood that got Google Fiber, with we ended up having 14 properties, 32 startups within a couple blocks of each other. It was just like this mini community within Kansas City that just emanated energy and attracted a lot of interest in literal tours. And that really got me and Matthew Marcus, which are the two consistent people that have kind of been in. This was 2012. So we're talking six and a half, seven years ago.
And let me pause for a second, because for those of you that are listening outside of Kansas City, where we're at, around 2010, 2011, Google wanted to start installing fiber optic internet or gigabit internet, a gig upstream and downstream. At the time, that was revolutionary technology.
Yeah.
And somehow they choose our lovely hometown of Kansas City to do that.
Well, it was kind of crazy. Yeah.
That sparked a lot of innovation. And with that, the Startup Village, as you're saying, was the very first. And you don't know this about me. I actually had a house on Cambridge Street.
Yeah.
And we were one of the first houses. It was empty. It was just had some computers in it. I was doing experiments with Google Fiber. I didn't even live here. My cousin owned the house and she moved to another one. And she was like, and I realized she was getting it. And I said, let me rent your house for 3 months. And I realized that Google Fiber was great when connected to other Google Fiber at the time.
Yeah.
But the rest of the internet wasn't ready yet.
Yeah, wasn't ready. No. And thanks for slowing me down. Sure. I tend to jump in. But yeah, I mean, Google, 1,100 cities across America applied or, you know, put their name in the hat to get Google Fiber first. And they chose Kansas City.
That's amazing.
So it was, again, we kind of won this like tech lottery. And like you said, it really brought together a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Did they ever tell us why Kansas City?
They gave some reasons though, but some of it was logistics, because in Kansas City, there's the amount of overhead lines where existing utilities ran. We made that very accessible. So you and I live in Leawood, and we never got Google Fiber because Leawood wouldn't they made was said you have to bury it, and they right. got in a big fight over it. But that's what I was told.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard before in other cities, like I think it's Seattle or some others, that they also have to charge for every pole that they run the lines down, mm-hmm. and they have to get work permits, building permits or whatever for every pole. And so the process of even running a line down the street and hanging it on the poles is like the giant clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And evidently we just made it really easy. I think that's one of the reasons why.
Yeah. And they, you never know all right, the reasons, right. but I think again, the ease or the infrastructure that's ready here, I think our local leaders really rolled out the red carpet. And I also think a part they would never say was it's a big enough city to test out how it is to roll it out, but I think
not
ultimately
too big to be right, too in. Yeah.
Right. Well, also if they mess it up too bad in LA, like they're going to eat them for lunch or New York. But if they mess it up here, we're nice.
Yeah. We're nicer.
We're nice.
Yeah. We're like, thanks for coming nice. To our,
thanks for trying.
Thanks for coming to our 25th, the 25th largest metro area.
Yeah.
And we're glad you're here, and you can mess things up. We won't complain. Yeah.
But so to transition back to reel in our ADD here.
We have a lot of that here.
The Google Fiber really was this lightning rod that brought the startup community together. And there was startup activity beforehand, but it wasn't cohesive. It wasn't together. And I mean, obviously you were around then, and I would think you would, Matt Watson, with Vint Solutions beforehand and all that, would kind of agree to that it really was the thing that brought us together, whether it was the Village or the Sprint Accelerator, all these things that brought us together. And I kind of talk about Google was the thing that started an actual community around startups. There was startup activity before, it wasn't together. And then we've just seen
And maybe I would say there's always been a lot of entrepreneurial activity in Kansas City, but not as much startup activity.
Right.
And I think there's a clear difference there, because like even myself, I would have never considered myself like a startup person.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly was never one of the people that would have went to the startup village and lived in some random dude's house so right. I could have had Google Fiber. Like I'm an entrepreneur, but I'm in a different stage.
And I think it's that mindset of scale and high growth and all of that. And again, there were
individuals. We have to give some context though to the time frame, because in 2012, the gigabit internet was ridiculously more powerful than anything else right. that was out there.
Yeah.
So if you, I remember one of the examples were saying like they used the example of being able to have kind of a Doctors Without Borders kind of thing, mm-hmm. but being able to do it in a very high definition way, and the bandwidth that was needed to support it. So if you wanted to have something to actively test that, this was where you needed to be.
Yeah. And so Google Fiber really ignited the imagination of Kansas City and got everyone excited. The thing that was really interesting as a result, you know, I'll be the first to say, I don't think we capitalized on it as an asset in like driving innovation. I think we capitalized on it as a marketing asset that raised awareness and excitement and connectivity in a human sense of, I think that was a thing, because really right now, it's not like Kansas City is a hotbed for gigabit innovation.
No.
I had the same attitude then and I have now, is that like 99% of people have absolutely no use for gigabit internet.
Well, I think Google's also trying to force the hand of their competition and so, them to raise the bar, because there was absolutely no reason to redo an entire infrastructure of something that already existed for Comcast or Time Warner.
And they're fat and happy, and they had their little monopolies across the country, and Google comes in, drops a bomb in the middle of it, and now there's gigabit being rolled out across the country. So,
which helped Google, because there's more page loads, which is more ad views, which is more money for
and more videos on YouTube.
And so I think that's the true motive. Yeah. They're an internet company. The faster the internet, the more money they can make.
More page views, more ads.
But what that did here was it did consolidate a startup community back to the village.
It did spark a nucleus for sure of interest.
Right.
Because we're talking about startup communities in general and how they exist and what they do here in Kansas City, it seems like I'm from here, grew up here, lived a bunch of other places, and I came back in 6 years ago, so 2013. Mm-hmm. And I was noticing so much of these changes. And then
what year did you get back?
2013.
Yeah,
6 years ago. And so, but now I see a lot of the things, like, for example, the like Kansas City Startup Foundation and these other things seem to have really ignited and consolidated and taken a leap forward from the time frame relative to Google Fiber.
Yeah, and I think the thing that would be really valuable to kind of focus this conversation around is I think a number of things in Kansas City, Google Fiber being one of the big ones, has allowed Kansas City to accelerate in its maturity of a kind of a startup community quicker than others. And so I think highlighting some of those things so that others that are listening that may not have those specific things Kansas City did, but to understand the levers that
I think we should speak about those. So some of the other things I think that have been really helpful to the entrepreneurial community are things like is it Pipeline, right? And then you have the Sprint Accelerator, Beta Blocks. There's been some other accelerators that have come and gone
too. And for those of you that are listening, so many people are just trying to figure out how to get started.
Yeah, well, and they need help. They're like, okay, I have this idea, but how do I get to the next level? I've never been an entrepreneur before. I'm clueless.
And so here you go. Tip, get involved in your local startup community. There's one where you live.
Yeah.
I mean, there's varying degrees of, you know, like how much they have going on, but there is one there. And I know because I'm go find people on Facebook.
Well, and so that's number one thing I tell people. And it's amazing when I talk to them, I'm like, well, have you joined the Startup KC Facebook group?
Yeah.
I'm like, no. I'm like, go on there and ask a damn question.
Yep.
You will get a response in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I think there's 4,000 people in that group.
And it's a great community. Like, it's really like
whatever you need help with.
And like,
you need help with something, go ask.
And so for those of you listening, I think, you know, having a place, an online forum for people to connect to, ask questions, share information, share events, share resources is huge. And again, you heard Startup KC Facebook group. Again, it's curated to just be people that have an active interest or engagement in the entrepreneurial community in Kansas City.
I think a friend of mine asked on there like a week ago, she asked like, does anybody have experience with opening a restaurant that sells like ice cream or something?
Yep.
And next thing you know, like an hour later, somebody responded like, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And it's like the random things, so whatever it is, right? So there's somebody in that community that knows somebody or knows the answer.
And so
that's a big value of the community is just connecting people.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. As you think about startup communities, connectivity, or often kind of when you're in that, you know, in that world, you hear about collisions and serendipitous collisions. That was the village back in the day. We had events, we had tours, and we just were trying to be really intentional about creating environments that people wanted to be and build relationships. And so many people, you can't plan it with, you know, serendipitous collisions. You're intentional with who's in the room, but you never know how they're going to interact and what connections they're going to make.
Well, another big thing that we need as entrepreneurs, early stage founders, stuff like that, is also just to be around other people similar. When we talk to our friends and our family, they all think we're crazy.
Well,
because we're entrepreneurial.
We actually just think you're crazy. Stuff. And then the rest of us realize
my mom understands
only your
me,
mom
okay?
gets you. But on that note,
we need to be around similar people that think like we do.
Well, on that note, just again, for any entrepreneurs listening, the worst feedback most useless feedback you can get is from your family and friends.
Oh yeah. I wrote that in my book.
Yeah.
Like literally like, hey, look, they're probably the ones that are also going to tell you you're crazy to not do it because they're concerned that you're being risky or whatever.
Or the other way.
Or they don't get it.
Well, the other thing that happened to me was, and I love my parents, but my first startup, they basically just told me they loved it. It's great. Whatever's going to work out. And they're just like your biggest champion, but they're not objectively giving you feedback because they love you, hopefully.
They don't necessarily provide any real positive or helpful feedback.
Right.
It's more just kind of emotional feedback, not really very subjective.
And so that's one thing for a lot of young entrepreneurs is you have to get your idea in front of those people that you think are your customers and listen to them, right?
So,
and I think that's what
I know Matt I met Matt in the Startup KC Facebook.
Did you?
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. You want to talk about
I'm about to drop this mic.
You want to talk about a success story, and it was just through conversing about things and talking about stuff. And then that led to messages talking about stuff. Then he ended up in my book. And then some time went by. We hung out a little bit.
And then the hosting a podcast.
Well, we started doing this podcast and we became business partners. And then here we are a couple hundred employees later.
So the basis of a startup community, entrepreneurial ecosystem, whatever the heck we want to call it, right, is that connectivity, whether it's digital, whether it's in person through events. That is the backbone of startup communities. And the other thing, so another thing we saw in what we do is stories.
Yeah.
So back when all this was getting started in Kansas City, there was a company called Silicon Prairie News.
Right.
And they were doing a great job of covering it. And then things changed for them and they stopped covering Kansas City. And there was an obvious void, because when you're hustling, when you're building your startup, you don't have time to go to every event. You don't have time to grab coffee or be active on the Startup KC face group every day. Mm-mm. You don't know. So what we realize is a good, reliable storyteller of those startup stories is like virtual networking, because now you know what your fellow founders are doing. It's like, ah, crap, I've not caught up.
I love seeing those emails from the Startland News every couple of days.
Yeah. And so when that died down in 2014, we saw that void, and I felt less connected because there was nobody actively telling those stories. And so we started Startland News in 2015. And today we have over 14,000 subscribers.
So and if you can subscribe or check it out, startlandnews.com.
Yeah, startlandnews.com. Here's a little trivia question for you. What percent of our readers do you think are outside of the Kansas City metro?
I'm going with 60.
I'll say 40%.
53% of the readers, we have about 50 to 60,000 page views a month, the last month or two. Most of those people are not in the Kansas City metro area. And so, you know, projecting those stories to the world is a really another and really important tenet of effective startup community building. Is you can't just expect everyone to know your story and to share your story. You need to tell it yourself.
And you guys only cover Kansas City,
and
right?
We only cover the greater Kansas City area. And so, we have two full-time reporters, and they're putting out 8 to 15 stories a week. And that's just sniffing the surface.
Well, you've done a story on this.
Yeah. And we've just have had so many stories, and we don't know all of the connections.
This meaning the podcast.
Yeah. This being the podcast, but we don't know all the connections that are made, but we hear stories all the time. Like, hey, you published that and a customer in California saw it. We've heard stuff like that countless times.
The frustrating thing about startup communities, and I think that's where you have to include and really say entrepreneurial communities, is there are a lot of entrepreneurs that don't associate themselves with being a startup.
Right.
And I was one of those people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of my favorite stories is at Stackify, we were using a product called Lucky Orange.
Yep.
And it was a cool little product that would just basically tell us like who was on our website and what they were doing and stuff like that. And we could kind of see what they were doing on our website. So it was helpful from an analytical standpoint. And come to find out, the company was based in Kansas City. I saw it. I'm like, holy shit, they're based in Kansas City. That's cool. So I reached out to the guy who was the founder, and I was like, hey, I just love your product. I'd just like to come hang out with you one day. And he thought I was like the weirdest creeper in the world. I'm like, you know, just entrepreneur to entrepreneur. Like, yeah.
Well, you and I did the same thing, and it wasn't weird though. Like, we just started.
He thought I was totally weird. Yeah, well, I'm like, I'm just trying to pull him out of his cave.
Did you meet with him?
Yeah. And then since then, he's been to 1 million cups.
That's
and great. I kind of like unlocked him into the community.
That's great.
I'll give you a couple of rapid fire examples of where Startland or that Facebook group. Well, first off, met Matt there. I've probably become friends with like 24 other entrepreneurs, founders, mm-hmm. other people. And then 2 weeks ago, I might have made one of your most engaged posts of the year when I asked for suggestions from the community for people we could have on the podcast, because mm-hmm. I felt like we had too much tech.
Yeah.
I was like, find me some other people, like who are they? So I crowdsourced it, and I was shocked because I made that post before we recorded a podcast, and it came out, it had like 50 comments on it, and then later it had like 75. But I booked 15 people from that. So like someone's coming in tomorrow, like Chris Kovac, who runs a beef company, the KC Soda Company, Bo Nelson of Thou Mayest, like found a lot of, because there's you mentioned storytelling, and stories are important as a listener, because, you know, if you're listening to someone's success story, they've already done it, it's likely that you're not going to follow that blueprint. But I listen for all the things that people did poorly. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that and where can, you know, okay, so I get it. So I don't want to do that same thing. I want to try to avoid it. And I'm just looking forward. And so you talk about the power of community. I was shocked I mean, maybe I wasn't, but I was just surprised because that's a lot of comments. I think it was like ended up at like 80 or something like that. And that's that whole example of like, you know, come credible and ask for what you need. Say, hey, look, we want to help you hear other people's stories, but who should we talk to?
Yeah.
And that power of recommendation is pretty strong.
Yeah, no, that it really is. And I think kind of an underlying part of all this, why this intentional startup community work is so important. And Matt, I'd be Matt Watson, especially, I'd be interested in your perspective on this. There's been a number of exits in Kansas City over the last decade or more. But from my perspective, and I don't know a lot of these people, you probably know several of them, their behavior after they exit tends to tell the story that they felt like they were successful despite Kansas City instead of because of it. And one of the things I think we're seeing is that the community we're building, people feel like they're a part of something. Like the this like your story where you post something and you get all this help, you then have some loyalty. So I'd be curious as a successful, you know, at someone that's exited and all of this, what's your perspective on kind of the fact that there is a more cohesive community now that is more supportive and is more helpful?
Well, I would say, back to what I've mentioned a couple of times, I think there's a big entrepreneurial community in Kansas City that doesn't really rely on or use any of the startup aspects of it, right? I mean, there are a ton of companies that are doing things that are entrepreneurial, but they don't necessarily go to any of the events. You know, they're not engaged in any of the community. I mean, you also have a lot of people who have had exits that, as you mentioned, that are not really involved in the community. They aren't in the community. Even some of the largest companies in town, some of the best entrepreneurs in town, they don't go to the events. And maybe it's because of their age, or they have a family, or they, you know, feel like the startup community is a bunch of young kids or whatever, right? You know, from it's an age difference. I don't know what it is, but there's definitely a lot of successful entrepreneurs, but they don't go to any of the events and they're not involved.
And this is where I think one of the big opportunities and kind of part of the backbone of startup community building is how do you connect that experience with the young and just in terms of their entrepreneurial journey founders and unlock that? Because the reality is guys like you and a lot of these founders that aren't engaging are the biggest.
They're the mentors.
Right.
They're the mentors that we need. Right.
Right.
I mean,
and that's
how cool would it be to go to these events and you see Tim Barton and Min Kao and, you know,
Cliff Illig
and Laurel Holt, those are and like all these different people. And Laurel is involved in some different things like hemp, which is great. Mm-hmm. But
not at the publicly open events. A lot of those people you're talking about are at
Gary Fish.
They're at things, but they're oftentimes like the Masters Award you got.
Meet the Masters.
Most of those guys were there.
Helzberg.
Yeah.
All these different people. Yeah. Like there's some great entrepreneurs, but they're not at the monthly Startland news events.
Right. And I think this is one again, and we're only this startup community, right, in a more intentional formal way. It's 6 years old, 7 years old in Kansas City. And I think those are some of the opportunities we still have to how do we get really intentional about finding ways for those most experienced, successful entrepreneurs to create a forum where others can learn from them and not make the same mistakes. Because I think when you don't have that knowledge share, the same mistakes get made.
Are they not at these events because we're not inviting them and asking them? Because, you know, we just mentioned Laurel Holt. Like, Laurel's super accommodating.
Yeah, he is.
He was interviewed in one of my books. That's how I know him.
He's been into our podcast.
Well, he's been a guest. And you know, the thing was, is he invited Matt and I to come down and be on a beta panel?
Yeah.
For something they were creating at Hemp. I love that name. The Helzberg Entrepreneurial Mentoring Program.
Yeah.
Hemp. But you know, he's really accommodating. I'm wondering if some of that's just because we're not asking.
Well, here, let's ask him. Hey, Laurel, assuming you're listening.
I bet he'd come if we ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you come to some of our events?
But I think the point is there's 20, 30, 40 of those people. And maybe one of the 40 ever comes to an event.
Right? I think it's because, but there's also 40 events.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. And that's like, so, I mean, if I wanted to, I could go to a quote networking event. And that's why we started Sweet and Greet, to be honest, is some of that was to curate mm-hmm. the networking.
Yeah.
And I've even referred to that. And for those of you listening, Sweet and Greet is just like a closed networking thing. We bought suites at like we're doing the Royals game on Friday. We have 26 entrepreneurs, investors, yep. and influencers.
Remember we went to that dinner and it was the fundraiser for the Fountain Innovation yep, Fund or whatever yeah. it's called.
Yeah, well, we were that Healthbird was there.
They did a good job of bringing yeah. in some yeah. bigger names. Yeah. So, but I think the key point of this is it's guys like Gary Fish, Tim Barton, Min Kao, all these different people could be great mentors or they could be great connectors.
Is it right? Your next event at Fish Tech?
It is.
Yeah.
I met with somebody the other day and I thought their startup idea was crazy, but I didn't understand it. But I knew the person who did and I connected him. In this case, it was Toby Rush.
Oh, yeah.
I said, hey, I don't know anything about this shit. I think it's crazy, but you need to talk to Toby Rush. And Toby Rush met with him.
Yeah.
That is what we need. Yeah. Yeah. Those are the connections that we need in the community that help move things forward. Toby Rush was an extremely valuable connection.
Yeah.
And thank you, Toby Rush, for doing that. And thank you, Toby, for being more involved in the community than some of these other
others. Right? But I think our whole conversation's revolving around connectivity.
Yeah.
Some of it
is networking and connections.
Right. When you're just getting into it. Just going to things and because you don't know who to talk to right. is valuable. Like just if you just have an idea, just start going and talking to
people. I
want to
give a tip when you go. You got to yeah. go. You have to talk to people though.
Right.
Like because I see that a lot. People are like, well, I went to the networking events. I'm like, how many people you talk to? They're like, two. I'm like, and I go to those things. And look, I know a lot of people at these things and I don't talk to them. I go talk to the people I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at that dinner that we were talking about Laryl, he came and he walked up to our table where he did end up sitting. But he looked at me and goes, I'm going to go try to find a table where I don't know anyone first. And they were all full. But that just shows you like, you know, yeah, but you got to go. You got to go talk to people.
That's a mindset.
If you're an early stage founder, what you're looking for is connections, potential customers. It's somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. Yeah. Right. It's like, oh, I ran into Davion, but Davion knows Steph Curry. Like maybe there's a connection, yep. right? Like it's the total randomness.
Well, and we've talked a lot about is like as you move up the entrepreneurial ranks, the quote unquote return on serendipity goes down because you know how to navigate the community more. But when you're just starting out, you have no idea who you need to be connecting with.
And there's only like 2 or 3 degrees of separation.
Right.
It's a very small.
Right. And as community. You move up, you know that network better. Yeah. So just going to a big public event is less valuable. And that's where I think the opportunity where even Kansas City has room for growth is how do we get really intentional to create connections between these really successful entrepreneurs in a way that they will engage.
Yeah.
And I think we're still learning how to do that.
The number one value that all these previous successful entrepreneurs can provide is their mentorship mm-hmm. and connections.
Yep.
And it doesn't require a whole lot of their time. It could be, you know, a breakfast once a week or once a month of just right. some entrepreneur who needs a little advice. And
yeah.
when people ask me for those meetings, most of the time I will say yes.
Yeah.
Like if you'll buy yeah. me breakfast, yeah, I will talk to you.
I will say you are very accommodating with that. And you know,
I don't get overwhelmed with it. Right. I actually haven't done that for probably 3 or 4 months. It's not something I do every week.
Right.
So if somebody asks me, I will usually.
And by the way, speaking of connection, I think that some of it, and once again, speaking of connection, the Startup Hustle podcast is now following the KC Startup Foundation on Instagram, but follow people. Yes. And like, that's where you get the news. Congratulations. Yes. Check us out at Startup Hustle Podcast on Instagram. See who we're following and follow them because we are only following a couple dozen people. We're trying mm-hmm. to keep it slim. So if you come and check us out, you have some other guidance of some people to look at and some organizations. So there you go.
Well, and you extra guys honored
you're what, well,
thank
the,
you.
The page is kind of new, but you know, but no, you can learn more about Adam and the Startup Foundation on Instagram at KC Startup FDN. And that's a good place. And also at Startland News.
Yep.
And like I said, you have to be paying attention for the signals though.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys are active on all these things. You're doing different events and stuff like that. Where are some other places that people can, that you think people can learn more about the startup communities that are around? Like Facebook's a good one.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, every community is different. So depending on where you're at, it's again, they're probably, you know, there may not be a startup STL if you're in St. Louis or whatever, but, you know,
well, 1 million cups is a good one.
1 million cups yeah. is, I was going to say 1 million cups is great. So 1 million cups is over in over 100 cities now. Wow.
But you, but odds are you could show up to 1 million cups, ask five people there, ask the organizer of like, where else do I need to go? Who boom. Else do I need to right. know? And boom, you will find yeah. out.
Yep. You have to ask, you yep. have to look for the signals and you got to pay attention.
Like if I was in St. Louis, call Archangels.
Yeah.
Or 1 million cups there, whatever. Like yeah. there's two or three organizations that are fairly well known. You find them, you talk to the right people, you will yeah. unlock all the doors.
So that's actually, if you have a 1 million, first off, see if there's a 1 million cups in your city. It is often the front door, the first place to stop in a city, and ask the organizer
yeah.
of 1 million cups how to plug into the community.
Yep.
That person will undoubtedly know.
Point you in three or four ways
yeah.
and just keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, no, I think that's it is every community is different. And the other thing, is the kind of the DNA of what drives a community. Cause in some communities, the corporate engagement is huge.
Well, in some communities too, you have, and for lack of a better term, but they're almost like economic development, mm-hmm. like, and they have classes, meetups that are specific to yep. certain things. Like I just see them and you got it, and those are also good places to meet the other members of your community. Right. You will also, if you go to enough of them, you'll start seeing the same people because they're after the same thing that you want to do.
Yep.
Now you're forming a squad and you know how that goes.
And I think going back to Matt's comment about how he'll always take a coffee or almost always take a coffee.
There you just go. Ask you heard for it, here it first.
That's right.
Just ask for the coffee, right? If there's someone, and I try and do this, and this is how we've built our network, is almost every time I come across an interesting person, I ask them for a coffee. Right. If someone that's doing something interesting or supporting entrepreneurs in an interesting way or just an interesting.
I'm going to challenge your approach because yeah. I get asked to coffee like six times a week and mm-hmm. I almost never go. Mm-hmm. My approach is I'll come to you. Let me know what's the most convenient for you. And maybe that is just stopping by their office.
Yeah.
So if you wanted a meeting with me and you were going to come here to our office, you have a high success rate. With saying yes, but with and I think coffee is like a general term that we right. use, but you're talking about a meetup. But if you make it convenient for the people that you're wanting to seek information from, I think your success rate for getting a yes is way higher. So keep that in mind because like when you actually use the term coffee, like now I got to leave work, I got to go somewhere, I got to park, I got to figure out who you are. Talk to you for a little bit and then I got to come back. And next thing you know, that can be a larger investment of time. And I've made it inconvenient.
If you're the seeker of guidance or expertise,
right.
You should be the one being inconvenienced.
To get my meeting with my breakfast meeting with Watson, I had to wash his car. I mowed his lawn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I gave one of his kids a haircut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look how far you've come. Now he gives you foot rubs.
And more.
Yeah.
Oh, that got weird.
Yeah. Okay.
We were talking about people's behavior after an exit.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys are starting to understand me.
You've become so eccentric, man. Yeah. It's hard to keep up. So
I'm going to go hang out on the tour bus for the rest of the day.
We've been joking because, you know, Matt, now that we hit the charts on Apple, Matt's demands are very rock star-ish.
Yeah.
4 pounds of all blue M&Ms.
Yeah. No, they're green. Green.
Well, you might want to stick around after to see the fit that he throws about them being blue and not green, amongst other things. But so I want to give some examples of some of the events that you guys do because the live show, mm-hmm. I can't remember what episode that was, but it was it's called the live episode.
Yeah.
That was at a function related to what you guys call Innovation Exchange, which you do monthly, which is a great event.
Well, and just again, we do a bunch of events and they're all really intentional to try and fill a need in the community. So Innovation Exchange is a monthly event that tries to bring to life newsmakers in Kansas City and a lot of Startland stories, you just read them. So how do we kind of bring that to life and have a conversation and get the backstory of a lot of those? So that's a monthly kind of bring the news to life type event where Startland is leading it and drives that conversation. So one was with you guys, but this next one is at Fish Tech and is about auto tech.
I'm just shocked you found a venue that held 103,000 people for our live recording.
We've only got 54 tickets left. or had only 54 tickets left. So we had like 102,800 there, which was amazing.
Damn, that means we didn't sell out.
Yeah.
You well, we had, give your tour bus back, dude.
We had walk-ups.
Oh, man. Oh, walk-ups. Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We sold that, but
I know the ticket, I have to keep the tour bus.
I know the tickets on StubHub.
It's my executive bathroom.
But yeah, so in Innovation Exchange, kind of a monthly conversation with newsmakers. We do an event with students. We've done like 16 of these each of the last few years with about 1,000 kids a year. We call them Mecca Challenge. Mecca stands for Most Entrepreneurial Community in America. And it's kind of based on our belief that young people are the jet fuel for whatever a community becomes. And that's really cool. We bring in local entrepreneurs to mentor high schoolers to, in 3 hours, solve a problem. And it's just great to see these kids come to life and realize that they can solve real world problems too. We do the Startup Crawl. So annual event, last year, 650 people just to meet early stage founders. We do the top VC backed, event. And, we also, do the Startups to Watch each year. So just trying to do different
things. Those are all great events.
That was a cool event too.
Yeah.
And thanks for the leads.
Yeah. So, so what are you playing with there?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I got caught. We're getting ready to play Mixtape.
Let's do it.
Mixtapethegame.com, digital version coming soon.
Mixtapethegame.com.
Anyway, so I'm going to read a scenario and you're going to name, all of us are going to name a song. By the way, I'm going to tell you how this wins because Watson will never vote for me. But we're making progress. So we're working through it. Eccentric rock star shit, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
What is the grocery cart with the squeaky wheels theme song? I'm
getting jiggy with it.
I'm going, the wheels in the sky keep on turning. I don't know where I'll be. I nailed that.
I mean, that was, you nailed really it. Hit that note. That was pretty good. What
the
are
first
you
thing that came to my mind was, the wheels on the bus go.
Nice.
Wow. Very, very linear thinker there.
Yes.
I hear wheels and I'm thinking,
hey,
of...
at least my wheels were in the sky. Yeah. I was aiming high, people. I was going for it. So, okay. So now we have to vote and you can't vote for yourself.
I'm voting for you.
I'm going to Corsi.
I'm going for DeCourcy.
I'm not even going to vote because I already won. That way I don't have to piss one of you guys off. Nice.
DeCourcy wins first time.
Wow.
Maybe first time.
I'll take that $20 you promised.
So, dude. Venmo. We're supposed to keep it on pain in crypto so it can never be tracked. Well, that was fun. And that might – I won before. I've been picking Fuck You by CeeLo Green like 80% of the time.
That would have worked.
Because it's so applicable. It's like the universal mixtape, the game answer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That and the Rickroll song. I mean.
If you're not going to sing it, it didn't happen, Matt. And I think the reason I won is because I definitely nailed that.
Yeah.
Voice of an angel. Well, anyway, because we're about out of time here. So a few things just to recap. Visit the Startland Foundation or startlandnews.com that is run by the Kansas City Startup Foundation.
Yep.
If you're here in the Midwest, come check out one of their events. The monthly Innovation Exchange is great. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go to that. It's a great, great event. And that's like here at Full Scale, that's a must attend.
Yeah.
So doing that, we gave you the Instagram handle earlier. You guys have other social medias that you want to mention?
Yeah, we're most active on Facebook and Instagram. So the Startup Foundation it's KC Startup FDN. On everything, and then Startland News.
And if you want to see pictures of Adam partying at Full Scale KC, dig through. He was at a Sweet and Greet event. I don't know if you were really partying, but the picture implies it. And and your dad.
That was
what was that?
That was a crazy
basketball.
Night. That was a Big 12 game.
KU won.
But I mean, Startland's putting out a ton of great content. So
it is great.
Yeah,
it's done very well and it's regular. And it's like you said, half of your readers aren't here in Kansas City and that's because it's good stuff. So.
Yeah. And on Startland, there's a startup jobs board. There's the community calendar. So there's even a community guide where we have lists of best coffee
events,
place for
and
startups
and different things like that. Yeah. And most importantly, send these guys a donation.
Yeah, there you go.
We're a nonprofit.
I don't think any donation is, I think any donation is appreciated.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, of course. I mean, the thing that's cool is seeing how...
I'll tell you what, if you send a donation to the Startup Foundation after hearing this, send us some proof of that and we'll talk about your business here on the show.
Boom.
All right.
The bigger the donation, the more we'll talk about it. I don't want to have to be like, sorry, that's all I got. That's what you get for a dollar. So, well, anyway, yeah. Adam, thank you for coming by. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah.
And hopefully those of you listening, take a few minutes and find the people around you that are ready to help you succeed.
Yeah. Well, and thanks for you guys for telling these stories and sharing out and supporting us. And I mean, you guys are instrumental part of the startup community.
We're trying to shine a light on the community.
We like it. See you next time.
Take care.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.